butter patty.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all today. Happy Father's Day. This week is the camping trip. It starts on Wednesday and goes till Saturday? All 4 days. Awesome. Okay. Mile what?
It's like 98.
Mile something on the blend. It's
90.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to those dads out here. I will say one of the great joys of my life has been being a dad. And some people aren't given that privilege. So dads, don't take it for granted. And kids, don't take your dads for granted. That's a good thing. But we have a father, don't we?
Yeah.
That is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We human dads, we fail. We're going to let our folks down. We don't want to, but it happens. The reality is our Heavenly Father never lets us down. And we're here today to celebrate our Heavenly Father who enables us to live this life and to give His love away. Isn't that a great thing?
Yeah.
He takes our brokenness, gives us back His love for us to give it away. So that's what we're celebrating today. And so happy Father's Day. A couple of things coming up. This week is going to be the family camp. It's up Matanuska Glacier kind of direction.
Mile 98.
Mile 98. There we go. It's up there. And so make plans. I think there's plenty of signs around. You can contact the church or the website should give more information about how to get there. And those who haven't been. So there was one more thing I want to tell you. For the fathers, when you leave, there's going to be something you'll recognize that's for dads. It's for dads, and it actually has your name on it. So, all right. Well, enough said. So let's begin with prayer, and we'll invite our heavenly dad to come and join us. Father, we thank you so much for your presence here. We know, Father, we just simply can't make it without you. We need you. We cannot love the way you love. We need you to pour your love into our hearts that we may share it with one another. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, that makes this all possible. So receive our praise, receive our worship, receive, Father, our attempt to express to you our gratitude for all of who you are. And thank you for our earthly dads. And I pray, Father, that you will bless each one today, whether they be a son or daughter, husband, wife, whether they be single. We just pray, Father, your blessing on each one today. For your glory and honor, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Like a fire awakening the earth.
that only you would receive our praise. Our praise offering, Lord, no matter our circumstances, Lord. Lord, that we would always turn to you and to give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. Because you are our Father, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that invitation to be your children. What an honor it is to be co-heirs with your Son. It doesn't even seem fair. But yet you offer it to us because of the love that you have for us, Lord. Lord, we just honor you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
this beautiful life. You overcame the grave to win our souls, to redeem your sons and your daughters. How humbling is that thought, Lord? How precious are your thoughts for us, Lord? We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful job. I was going to open with something cute. I think it's more important that we just get right to the heart of the matter. The next 3 weeks that I'll be sharing, I'm looking at the roles of husbands and wives and our covenant with God. And today, we're looking at husbands. And men, whether you're a husband or not, God created us for a purpose. Every person, man and woman, is looking for that purpose. What is my purpose here? And without purpose, life seems to be futile. Per capita, unfortunately, Alaska has an incredibly high suicide rate, maybe one of the highest in the nation. Futility. Purpose. When people don't understand who God is and who we are in relationship to Him, life is hard. Used to be a bumper sticker. Life is hard and then you die. And how sad is that if that's what life is? But there's a reason for things the way they are. And I will share this little story with you as we get into God's Word. These are the instructions. Now, I do want to see a show of hands by the men here who read the instructions when you're putting something together. How many of you read the instructions? All right. And some don't so much, huh? How many times have you not read the instructions, had to go back and undo what you did, and reread the instructions so you could get it right? So I guarantee you, if you didn't read the instructions, that's happened to us at some time. So as I was praying about this, God gave me some instructions for His Word, just as we're getting into it. And so, men, read the instructions. Follow each step as directed. Warning. Self-centered attitude and actions will cause off-center and out-of-balance connections, running the risk of intermittent and faulty communication. This may cause system failure. That was meant to be funny. Only funny because it's true. When our communication breaks down, and I say it, and my family's probably tired of hearing it, but there's three people in every marriage. There's God the Father, there's the husband and the wife. And our vows are made to Him first, and then to each other. And with that said, there's a we in marriage. And as soon as I turn that W upside down and make it about me, the marriage is broken. But who did I break it with first? God. Now, I stand guilty before you. Now, my wife and I have been married 37 years. We're going on 38 this year. But prior to that, I did not have a successful marriage. I was not a Christian. I was living for me. And the vows I made were not to God. They were just for a piece of paper, a contract, not a covenant. There was a lot of pain involved in that. But God blessed me when I came to Him. He forgave me. He wiped everything clean. And He gave me a new start. And He brought the most wonderful woman any husband could ever ask for into my life. God's word tells us what He expects. I'm so mad at Adam. Really, still am. When I see him, I'm going to say, "What's up, brother? What in the world were you thinking? Had one rule? Just one. And if you didn't eat of that fruit that gave you the knowledge of good and evil, we'd all still be walking in harmony with God in perfect creation." He didn't listen. And men, sometimes we don't listen. So I'm going to read to you from Genesis. And I want to say this. I don't know if it's up on the screen yet. Yeah, there it is. Because dads, before you can be a good dad, you've got to be a good husband. And even if you're not married, it still has that impact on your family. That you need to go back and look at where that failure was so that you don't keep perpetuating that. And just believe what this little picture says back here. Because it is absolutely the truth. Your kids will follow your example far more than they will your advice. Then God said, "Let them make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that it creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Very important. Remember that for next week, too. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." We were supposed to have dominion. Grizzly bears were not supposed to frighten us. Mosquitoes weren't supposed to bother us. Adam! What were you thinking? But they sat there at that tree. The serpent deceived Eve. Adam stood right there. This is the problem. Yes, it was Eve who ate first. It was Eve who was deceived. But Adam, who had been given the command, not Eve, stood beside her, watched her take that fruit, watched her eat it, and wondered if she would die. Adam, what were you thinking? Of course, they'd never seen death before, so it wasn't something that they understood. And then God found out, because He knows everything. And that's one of the things, guys, we think we're trying to fool God. God doesn't fool. He's not going to You can't hide anything from him. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words before they come off your lips. Then God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Everything was broken. The ground was broken. Everything became corrupted that was perfect. One of my sons, who will remain unnamed, does not like vegetables. Herbs of the field are part of that curse, you know what I'm saying? Over in chapter 9, we get to eat meat again, so that's important. But the reality is, this curse happened, and it happened because of the silence of Adam when all he needed to say was, Eve, forget that serpent. That guy's lying to you. God said this. Come with me. We're not going to eat that. We got so many other good things we can eat. Leave that here. I trust God. But he was quiet. She said, look, it's good. He said, look, she didn't die. He ate too. And so we see that if we want to be successful in this life after the fall, we've got to go back and do things right. Just like putting together your child's bicycle without reading the instructions, and you forget the bearings, and you've got to go back now and undo everything you did and follow the instructions this time so you get those bearings in place. Success begins with a man's following God's word. So our role as men in this room, all these men in this room, our role was as gardeners and as animal husbandry. We were to watch over the animals, create an environment for them to be able to thrive and multiply. We were to tend the garden so that it would continue to bear fruit. That was our role, and it was to be a pleasant role. But now, the sweat of the brow, the thorns and the thistles, the mosquitoes, the grizzly bears. It's not good for man to be alone. The first marriage, Adam and Eve. Eve was to be a helper comparable to Adam. That's what God's word says. But Adam didn't follow the instructions. Now, the only remedy is Jesus. The only remedy is Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. Whether it sinks in and you hold on to it, I don't know. And you may have heard me say it before because I say it repeatedly. But the reality is, the reason Jesus needed to be born of a virgin was so that the bloodline of Adam would not be in his veins. And when Satan attacked Jesus, he had no authority to do so. But that dominion that God had given Adam back in the garden was transferred to the serpent when they obeyed him instead of God. Whether you get that or not, I don't know. But it's a reality. And so the only remedy is for the one who is not only sinless in his actions, but did not carry the corruption of Adam in his veins, born of a woman, fully human, fully divine, And he was tortured in ways that are unimaginable to us. He suffered in ways that we can't begin to imagine in our place. I just got one little taste of that one time. When I was in the Marine Corps, I made a mistake. I blew it. And my entire platoon was punished while I had to stand by and watch. And they were punished until they were bleeding. And I had to watch. Let me tell you, that sticks with you. Jesus was punished for our sin. And that's the only vaccine that works. So we've got to go to him to heal and redeem the curse. So that if we'll keep close eye on the instructions, with his help, with his Holy Spirit, with his power that we sang about this morning, we can live victorious lives. Now, Paul wrote, and he wrote about that success. I also will repeat that if you want to succeed at anything, don't focus on what to do wrong that will bring about failure. Focus on what you need to do right that gets the job done. All right? So we want to focus on what's right. Let's take a look over here at Ephesians chapter 5. Starts off saying, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It goes on to give some warnings here, and it talks about us walking in light and then in wisdom. So in verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now again, this is another one of those points that we need to remember for next week as well. Okay? This submission to one another is a choice. It's a humble, intentional choice to defer to the family for their highest good. Now, when it matters that in some way what the choice may be brings harm and you're committed to that, then unlike Adam, we need to speak up. But when it doesn't matter, when it's not a matter of eternal consequence, when it's not a matter of some harm that will come to someone, be subject to one another. Submit to one another. Listen to one another. Pray about it and come to a unified unity in the Spirit and agree with the Lord together. When we can do that together, our whole world changes. We become the thermostat that changes the culture. We need to be setting the temperature, not just reacting to it as the church. That happens when we read the instructions, when we allow his love to be perfected in our hearts. And men, when we're willing to not get in each other's face, but if you really want to fight like a man, get on your knees and lift your hands to the one who's already overcome. That's the way a man fights. So, husbands, you are the spiritual head of your household. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 11:3. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. I want to point something out here. This isn't a hierarchical setting, okay? There's not a hierarchy here. Who's last? God the Father. Why shouldn't he be first if it's a hierarchy? But it's not. This is about roles. This is not about a subservience. This is about a role in life. And you know, they say too many cooks in the kitchen. My wife's an excellent cook, and I will gladly leave the kitchen for her cooking. But once in a while, I'm out there on the grill. I do the cooking. It's not a one-person job. I really want to point this out because there is a responsibility here. But my responsibility in this is to recognize my head, spiritual head, Jesus, and then recognize my responsibility as a shepherd of my wife and my family, as a pastor to them. And yes, men, that's what you are. And Pastor Mark and I carry that title. We choose pastor rather than reverend or, I see things that to me are just, forgive me if it's important to you, but when somebody wants to be called the Right Reverend Doctor so-and-so, I do. I mean, sure, they worked hard to get that title. But is that taking away from Jesus? What is my role as a minister at this church, as the associate pastor? And by the way, I didn't even think, some of you may not know who I am, so it just occurred to me. Some of you may not know. I'm Mike Schwartz, the associate pastor as of May 1st here at Wasilla Community Church. I'm thrilled to be here. But as a pastor, my role is a shepherd. My job is to shepherd. It's not to be some bishop or high priest. Only in the sense of a spiritual realm where God wants me to stand in the gap. But in this relationship, he wants me to be willing to lay down my life for you. He wants me to step out where the wolves and the bears come after the sheep, and I make sure that they don't get to you. That's a shepherd's role. It's what David did. When Goliath was an issue, he said, 13-year-old boy, hey, when a bear comes and takes one of my sheep, I go out and I grab him by the beard and I club him to death. Okay. That's what he said. That's what he did. That's a shepherd. He led them beside green pastures where they could not only feed but sleep in safety, because he could see in that green pasture any predators that might try to approach his flock, and he would deal with them. There's a spiritual battle going on, friends, and shepherds are involved in that spiritual battle. So, when we see that, we need to also go over to chapter 11 and verse, is that 11? Yeah, it says 11. All right. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. So any sense of hierarchy here, where woman is subservient to man, is wiped away in this very same chapter, right? Not. We are co-equal. In the kingdom, we are co-equal. And my role is different from my wife's role. She's given different gifts than I'm given. I'm given different gifts than she's given. And when we get that right, when we work with God within that relationship, it's as it was intended to be. So I have to think about, if I'm the spiritual head of my household and it's up to me to see to the spiritual health and well-being, going back to the idea of a gardener and an animal husbandry where you create an environment for health and flourishing. Husbands, as the spiritual head of your household, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. The love of Christ is unconditional, sacrificial, perfect and complete, eternal, divine. Ooh, that sounds pretty heavy. And I would go so far as to say humanly impossible. Hey, that's why we need Jesus. It is humanly impossible. This is not something that I can do on my own. I am a selfish person. Hear that. Mike Schwartz is a selfish person. I know that. I've fought that my entire life. And so my goal is to live my life in such a way that I submit and surrender to the one who died in my place so that I can learn to love like he does, because it's humanly impossible for me. Now, we're going to get to the wives' role next week, so I don't want to go into that. But men, if we're going to love like Jesus loves, we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to enable us. In Romans chapter 5, it says it's his role, the Holy Spirit's role, pours out God's love into our hearts. The Holy Spirit's role is to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit's role is to counsel us and to be that source for us. And the Holy Spirit's role is to sanctify us. So when it talks about loving as Jesus loves here in Ephesians 5, we need to go over there and take a look at that, don't we? Husbands, verse 25, 525 of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives. Boom. Here it is. Here's the model. This is the role that you and I have. And men, even if you're not married, this is the role we ought to have of learning to love one another as Christ has loved us. So the world will know we are his disciples. But if you are married, this is clearly God's intention. How do we sanctify our wives? Isn't that God's work? Well, it is on one hand, but understand the word sanctified. It simply means dedicated or set apart for special use. You know, if we have a dedicated line going for a computer, it just means that that line for that computer is designated for one purpose and no other computers are attached to it. If you have a circuit, an electrical circuit that's dedicated, it's for one purpose. So this idea of sanctified can be understood in that same way, dedicated, set apart for a singular purpose, God's kingdom purpose. Now, can I do that for my wife? I can. I can see her as God's daughter. I can recognize her as God's gift to me. And I can pray daily that I can set self aside so that I can be the man God wants me to be for her to fulfill his kingdom purpose. Now, do I do that right all the time? Go ask her. That's a no. Is it my desire? Go ask her. I think she will tell you yes. It is my desire. It is my intention. And the more I can let go of self and be open to God, the more I can succeed in that role. And yes, this is Father's Day. But husbands, we can't even be a good father until we get this true, this truth. Because how do we love our kids if self-centeredness is still at the core of our activities with our kids? Are we not failing them? Are we not teaching them also? So they get it. Trust me, 2 years old, they get it. They will imitate us. Our example has far more impact than our words. So we want to bring our life's partner, as husbands bring our wives, who are co-equal, neither independent of the other, and present her before God holy and blameless. The spiritual health of the family is my responsibility as a shepherd. Dads, you will be the example that your children will follow. Words will only be a fraction of that influence. So, be aware early on. Be aware that as our kids grow up, whether or not you were a good or bad parent, what matters is they're going to look at how you are as a spouse. And very likely your daughters are going to look for husbands that were like their dad. And boys are going to model their father as a husband. So dads, think about what you want for your children. And it's never too late. It's never too late. We can still build that relationship in an attitude of love and of awareness of who God is. The role of a Christian husband is that of shepherd pastor. So the 23rd Psalm works well for us to use as a guide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the husband is going to be a provider, right? Not the sole provider. God's the sole provider. S-O-U-L as well as S-O-L-E. God's the sole provider. But we are providers. It's a responsibility. It's a part of the role. We're a leader. We're going to lead our families to places of health and well-being. We're going to be the defender. And when we see that predator coming to cause harm, we're going to stand in the way and not allow the harm to approach our family. We're going to be a guardian, keeping watch. We're going to be a restorer. We're going to be righteous in Christ. His righteousness will be ours. And our children will learn that it's not on our own, but as we are in Christ, that we are made righteous, holy, and sanctified. We will be present. Because friends, no matter how much money you ever make, you can never buy back time missed with your family. Comforter. You know, that's primarily a mom's role, but I don't know how many times I've had my guys run to me when they were little and they just needed dad to wrap his arms around them. Seeker of God. You seek him, they'll seek him. Blessed and blesser. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. It's kind of a joke in our household sometimes. Oh, I just want to be a blessing. But the truth is, we are blessed in order to give it away. And dwelling in Christ, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we come to the end of this service, it's a tall order. Husbands, fathers, men, it's a tall order. To love as Christ loves, there's nothing more difficult on this planet. We need him. There was a church sign. The Father who knows best still looks up to the Father who knows all. As we close, I want to pray, but then I also want to ask one of our fathers to come forward who didn't get some good news this week. It's not good news, but the wonderful thing is we have one who's bigger. Bigger than cancer. Bigger than anything we'll face. And we can trust in that. And as we read the instructions, one of the instructions that says, if anyone is sick, let them call on the elders of the church. And the pastors will anoint with oil. They will pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. Elwin, if you'd come up, we've got some oil here. And family, church family, friends, if you'll come, gather around. We're going to lay hands on. And if you can't get close, it's okay. You can just reach out to someone who's already got a hand on L1. It is my privilege to anoint you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, this is your son, Elwin. You know his need. You know things that the doctors can only hope to know. You understand his body because you made it. And even in this fallen world where there's disease and there's problems, God, you're bigger than any of those. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who by his stripes and the blood he shed on the cross, we are healed. We thank you, Father, that through the power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome. And Father, you are more than able to overcome this cancer. How many times, Father, I've seen you wipe away cancer that was clearly there, and suddenly the doctors say it's not here anymore. We don't know what happened. We pray for that testimony. We pray for that outcome. But sometimes, Father, you choose to use means not always comfortable, not always easy. But, Father, if we remove from Scripture all the accounts of suffering, we'd remove from it all that is noblest, best, and good. So, Father, I pray that you will give Elwin and his family the comfort they need. You'll give them the courage they need. You'll give them the wisdom they need. I pray that you'll impart wisdom and knowledge to the doctor supernaturally to be able to accurately diagnose and effectively treat. But we know that the treatment they provide is only a means through which Jesus heals. So, Father, may that healing come. And we thank you now for what you are doing in his body, in his life, and for the testimony he'll be able to share because of what you have done. And fathers, we pray for Elwin. We pray for every father here, every man here, that as we go from this place, you might empower us to live with your love for one another. Help us to stand strong as men. And when it's time to fight, may we have the courage to get on our knees and lift our hands to you. In Jesus' name, amen. let's end this part of the service. We do have a chili supper.